It's been a bit of an God's word now, Philippians, the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians. I'd encourage you to bring a Bible each time, although we will have the reading on the screen as well. As a church, we've been looking through this letter over a number of months. It's a letter from Paul to a church that he really loved and had a great relationship with. They were partners in the gospel. This church prayed for Paul, supported Paul financially so that he could go around the world spreading the gospel. And Paul was very concerned for them, prayed for them, and wanted to encourage them. And he writes this letter to tell them that although he's in prison, he's okay, and God is working through him, and the gospel is spreading, and he's ready to die and be with Jesus if that needs to be. And he also writes to encourage the Christians to keep going in the face of opposition, to stay united in the face of disunity, and to stay protected in the face of false teaching. And this morning, then, we come to chapter 4 and verse 1. And we'll be dipping into chapter 3 as well, but I just want to focus on verse 1 of chapter 4 this morning. We've got about five more sermons in this letter, but this morning we're just focusing in on this one verse. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And boys and girls, some of you, hopefully you've got a sheet and printed that and brought it with you. Those of you at home have got the sheet, and I'll be reminding the children as we go through it of things that they can fill in to help them follow along. Now, in the Bible, the Christian life is described in lots of different ways, different pictures, different metaphors, different images are used to help us understand what it's like to be a Christian and to live as a Christian. Sometimes it's described as a race that we have to run towards the prize and keep going. Sometimes it's described as a walk where we have to follow after others, and those answers are on your sheets, boys and girls, a race and a walk. And Paul uses both those pictures in chapter 3. But this morning we're thinking simply about standing. Standing. Paul talks here about standing, but not just any old standing. Stand fast. Stand firm. Children, I wonder if over the summer, some of you got to go to the beach. Did anyone go to the seaside and build a sandcastle? If you didn't do that this summer, then hopefully at some point in your life, you've built a sandcastle. And we love building sandcastles, our family. And one of the things we love to do is build the sandcastle and then sit in it as we wait for the waves to come in, the tide to come in. And as the waves come in and start to knock against the sandcastle, we do everything we can to try and keep the water out and stop the waves knocking it down. But eventually what happens, you'll know what happens, the castle gets knocked down, doesn't it? It doesn't stand fast, it gets knocked down. Well, being a Christian and following Jesus can sometimes feel like being a sandcastle with the waves beating against you. But God's call to you as a Christian is to stand fast, to not let anything knock you away from Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, are you standing fast in the Lord Jesus? That was Paul's great desire for these Christians he was writing to. We can tell he really loved them, can't we? Twice in verse 1, he calls them beloved. He tells us that he longed for them, he wanted to be with them. And he tells us that they were his joy and his crown. He really loved these people. And so what did he want for them? What did his love for them make his desire for them to be? I wonder, what do you want for the people that you love? What's your great desire for the people that you love most? Your children, your friends, your family, your brothers and sisters in the church. Is your biggest concern for them simply that they would be healthy and wealthy and successful? Or is your big concern for those you love the same as Paul's big concern? Is your concern for them, your prayer for them, your encouragement to them, that they would trust in Jesus and then stand fast in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, this verse is encouraging everyone who trusts in Jesus to stand fast in him. And so this morning, we're going to just look at this verse a little bit and ask three questions to help us understand it. We're going to ask a what question, a why question, and a how question. So first of all, the what question. What is this verse telling us to do? What's it telling you to do this morning if you're a Christian? And we've already started to see the answer, but let's dig into the answer a little bit more. What's it telling us to do? It's telling you to stand firm. And this word, stand firm or stand fast, is a word that comes from the language of battle. It's a battle word. And in Paul's day, it was a word that would be used to describe a soldier who was in a fight and had to stand fast against the enemy that was coming against them. Paul uses this same language in Ephesians chapter 6. Do you remember that chapter all about the spiritual battle that we're in? And three times we're told in that chapter to put on God's armor so that we can stand fast or stand firm in the battle. Boys and girls, this is on your sheet. The Christian life is described as a battle. And in this battle, we have to stand fast, to endure, to keep going. The opposite, of course, is giving up, walking away, falling. And the Bible warns us about that, doesn't it? In the parable of the sower. Do you remember the parable of the sower? Jesus said, as the farmer sowed his seed, which represents God's word, there are some people who respond well to it. They kind of look like they want to be Christians. I want to be a Christian. But then trouble comes, persecution comes, and we're told they fall away. Or the pleasures of wealth and care and worry start to choke the word and it doesn't produce fruit. Sometimes people for a little while can seem to be Christians and then they don't stand fast. But true believers stand fast. They endure to the end. But actually, it doesn't just say stand fast here, does it? What does it say? It says, boys and girls, on your sheet, are you ready for the next answer? Stand fast in the Lord. When Paul talks about the Lord in his letters, he's always referring to the Lord Jesus. Stand fast in the Lord Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the ground or the foundation of our standing. Paul is saying, stand firm in your faith in Jesus Christ. Remember again, the language here is battle language. But isn't it actually very encouraging that the Bible doesn't say that we have to march forward and win the battle? No, the big point here and the great message of the Bible is that Christ has already won the battle for us through his perfect life on our behalf, through his death on the cross in our place, through his wonderful resurrection. He's conquered our enemies of sin and Satan and death and hell. And one day he's going to come again. He's going to get rid of sin and Satan and suffering. And his people will reign with him forever and ever. He's won the victory. And so the call of the Bible is not to march forward and try and win this battle. No, we're simply called to stand fast on the person or in the person who has won the battle, won the victory for us. Recently, I've been watching a program called The World's Toughest Race. I wonder if you've seen it, with Bear Grylls. And it's about people from all over the world who come to Fiji to go through this most grueling of races. It's hundreds of miles long. It lasts for days and weeks. It involves people rowing and swimming and climbing and hiking and cycling through jungles and oceans and rivers, with little sleep, with not much food, and just watching it is exhausting. It's a grueling race. But it made me think as I was watching it, how encouraging it is that the message of the Bible to us isn't that we have to climb a mountain and swim an ocean and hike through a jungle and row up a river and cycle along a muddy path for hundreds of miles. And if you do all that without giving up, you'll win the prize of salvation. No, the good news of the Bible, in a sense, is that Jesus has done all that for us. And we're simply called now to stand fast in the one who has won the victory. You know, some of you have come here today, or maybe some of you watching online who've come to Sheffield as students. Or maybe I know some in the church are going away to other places, to university, and it can be a very exciting time going to university, but it can also be a very testing and challenging time. There are many things that could lure you away from following the Lord Jesus. And so let me ask you and encourage you, in the midst of everything else you're thinking about and all the excitement, to make this the most important thing as you come here or as you go to another place, to make sure that you stand fast in Jesus. Maybe write this verse up and stick it on your wall. I need to stand fast in the Lord. Don't let anyone, don't let anything lure you away from Christ as your Savior and King. That's what people who love you will be praying for you, that you would stand fast. And this is why it's so important to find Christian friends and find a good church where you'll be encouraged to stand fast in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it's so important to get into good habits of reading the Bible and praying, so that you can be focused on Jesus as your Savior and King and be encouraged to stand fast in Him. But secondly, let's ask the why question. Why do we need to stand fast in the Lord? Why do we need to be told to stand fast? Well, the answer to that question comes in chapter 3. Just notice that chapter 4 begins with the word therefore. And therefore is a connecting word. Paul is saying, in the light of everything I've told you in chapter 3, therefore stand fast in the Lord. So chapter 3 gives us the reasons why we need to stand fast. So what are those reasons? Well, let me just remind you of two of them, two of the reasons. And boys and girls, here's your next answer. The first reason why we need to make sure that we're standing fast in the Lord is because there are false teachers who want to lure us away from Jesus. Remember the sandcastle, boys and girls, remember the sandcastle with the waves beating against it, trying to knock it down. Well, as Christians, we have waves that beat against us. And one of those waves is the wave of false teaching and false ideas. And that's been a big theme in chapter 3. At the beginning of chapter 3, Paul warns us about false teachers and false ideas that try and get you to put your confidence not in Jesus, but in yourself. In Paul's day, these false teachers were called Judaizers. And they were saying to people, trusting Jesus isn't enough. You've also got to be circumcised and become like a Jew and keep all these rules and regulations. That's the way to be right with God. And Paul says, no, Jesus is the only way to be right with God. And you need to put your confidence, not in who you are and what you can do, but in Him alone. He sums it up wonderfully in chapter 3, verse 9, where he tells us that he wanted to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. See, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. And we've not loved God, we've not loved each other as we should, and we live under God's judgment and condemnation, and nothing we can do can make up for that, can put us right with God. But Jesus can. His perfect life, his death on the cross, that deals with sin and makes people right, and we need to put our confidence in him. And once you've done that, you need to stand fast in him. Don't let false teachers or false ideas lure you into thinking that you have to do something extra to get right with God or to get God to love you. Sometimes we fall into this trap of, as Christians, thinking that we've got to reach a certain level of goodness or a certain level of knowledge or a certain level of service, and only then will we really be acceptable to God. And the Bible says, no, your acceptance with God is based not on you, but completely on Jesus and his finished work for you, his perfect life, his death on the cross. That's why you need to stand fast in him. But then at the end of chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, we're told about another group of false teachers who were active in Paul's day. A very different kind of false teaching. These people were claiming to be Christians, but they were living lives that were full of sin and shame. Jesus wasn't their God. We're told in verse 19 that their bellies were their God. They were living as if pleasure and food and money and drink and satisfying their physical desires was all that mattered. And yes, those things do matter, but Jesus matters more. And when Jesus saves you from your sins, he saves you so that you can love him and live for him. Not simply so that you can just serve yourself. But here were people who were just serving themselves, serving their bellies, living as if pleasure and money and wealth and food and drink was all that mattered. And Paul says, look, it might look like they're having fun now, but verse 19, look, where do they end up? In destruction. So don't follow them. Don't go after them. Don't live like them. Instead, stand fast in the Lord. Make Jesus the Lord over your life. Trust him as Savior and serve him as the Lord who's loved you and rescued you. So the first reason why we need to be encouraged to stand fast in the Lord is because we're in a battle. And one of the devil's tactics in the battle is to lure us away from Jesus with false ideas. Lure us away from trusting him alone as Savior. Lure us away from following him as our Lord. And as Paul writes this letter then, he's saying, look, in the light of these warnings I've just given you in chapter 3, therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, stand fast in the Lord. It's a little bit like someone who's trying to cross a swamp. Imagine someone trying to cross a swamp. And you know there's only one safe and solid path across the swamp. And so you start to warn them. Beware the water over there and the quicksand over there. And beware those tufts of grass that look safe, but if you stand on them, they'll give way and you'll sink into the swamp. And you say, beware all those things and therefore stick to the solid and safe path. And Paul here then, after warning them about the dangers and the false gospels and false ideas that lead to destruction, says, therefore stand in the one safe place that there is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let any teaching lead you away from resting and relying on him. This is why it's so important when we read books that claim to be Christian books or listen to sermons that claim to be Christian sermons or watch TV channels or listen to TV radio stations or talk to friends who say they're Christians, that we don't just take in what they say uncritically, but we need to be asking, is this thing that I'm hearing encouraging me to stand fast in the Lord? Or is it undermining my confidence in him as Savior or my commitment to him as my Lord? But then the second reason why Christians need to be told to stand firm in the Lord, here it is, boys and girls, the second reason is because Jesus is coming again. And this is how chapter 3 ends. And it's a very positive reason to stand fast in the Lord. The first reason was more negative. We need to stand fast because there's false teachers who want to lure you away from Jesus. But we also need to stand fast because Jesus is coming again. Because we have this great hope for the future. And that's how chapter 3 ends, isn't it? Chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself." So chapter 3 finishes by reminding us what we have to look forward to as Christians. We're looking forward to the return of Christ, to being with Jesus, to having our bodies raised, to be like Jesus' resurrection body, to Jesus coming and getting rid of sin and suffering and sadness and Satan and subduing everything under his rule and power. And we're going to reign with Jesus in the new creation forever. And therefore, chapter 4 begins, stand fast in the Lord. To turn away from Jesus is to turn away from this great future that you're looking forward to. But everyone who endures to the end, who stands fast in trusting Christ, will receive this inheritance and this prize. And actually, it's having this future hope and keeping it in your view and in your mind that will strengthen you to stay standing fast in the Lord. Boys and girls, that's on your sheet. This future hope will keep you standing fast. You know, I love the place in the Lord of the Rings story, the Lord of the Rings films, where it's the Battle of Helm's Deep. And the heroes of the story, they're in a fortress, and they've been battling all night, and they're trying to stand fast against this huge army of orcs that are coming to get them. And they're totally outnumbered, and the enemy has breached the walls, and it looks like the heroes are going to be crushed to death, but they continue to stand. And suddenly the Aragorn, who's the hero of the story, remembers the promise that his friend Gandalf has made to him, that on the fifth day at dawn he would return and help, and that they should look to the east for his coming again. And with this promise in mind then, the heroes, they stand fast in the battle and they ride out into the battle. And as they look to the east, there is Gandalf and the army, and they're shining in splendor, and they sweep down the hill, and the enemy is defeated. And it's this promise of the return of the helper and the hero that keeps them standing fast. And in an even greater way then, and in a real way, a true way, is the promise of the Lord's return and the wonderful victory that Christians will share in when he comes again, that should keep us standing fast in this battle. Remember, it's not a losing battle. Remember, it's not a battle you have to go out and try and win. Remember, this is a battle that Christ has won for us. And when he comes again, we'll enjoy the full consequences of his victory. And therefore, you must stand fast in him, trusting him as your Savior, and waiting for his promised return. But finally and briefly, let's ask the how question. How can we stand fast? After all, even just standing fast, when you're in the midst of it, in the battle, can feel and sound very overwhelming, can't it? To be in a battle, to face waves of challenge, to have an enemy like Satan, and to stand fast can feel and sound very tough. In that world's toughest race competition with Bear Grylls that I was watching, at the very beginning, Bear Grylls says, look, some of you aren't going to make it. Some of you will drop out. It's going to be too hard for you. And he was right. As you watch it, people just end up giving up. It's too hard. They're too tired. They get injured. They have to give up, and they fall by the wayside. And maybe for you, just standing firm in the Christian life can feel like you're in the world's toughest race, and you wonder, how can I keep going? How can I stand firm? Well, the answer to that question, or the clue to the answer to that question, is again in those wonderful words, in the Lord. When Paul says, stand fast in the Lord, he's telling us what we need to do. We need to stand fast in our faith in Jesus. But he's also telling us how we're to do it. When he says stand fast in the Lord, he's reminding us that it's only through Jesus and his keeping and preserving power that you can do this. One Bible commentator sums it up like this. He says, those who live in union with the Lord may thus expect him to keep them steadfast in manifold dangers. Matthew Henry, the Puritan preacher, put it like this. To stand fast in the Lord is to stand fast in his strength and by his grace. You see, if you're a Christian trusting Jesus, the Bible, as we saw with the children, means that you're in Christ. Boys and girls, this is on your sheet. You are united to Jesus. You're in Christ through faith in him. And in Christ, you're saved from your sins. And in Christ, you're also kept safe until that day when you meet the Lord Jesus. So when the Bible says stand fast in the Lord, the emphasis isn't simply on what you've got to do. The emphasis is on what the Lord will enable you to keep doing. And this is a great theme of the New Testament, a great emphasis. that it's by being united to Jesus and through his grace and power that we're enabled to keep standing. Ephesians chapter 6, that great passage about the battle, begins like this. Be strong, how? In the Lord and in the strength of his might. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy and says, be strong or be strengthened. How? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The letter of Jude finishes with these wonderful words. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, from falling away, and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. You see, the great news of the gospel is that it's in and through the Lord Jesus that we're saved, and it's in and through the Lord Jesus that we're kept till the end of the journey. And this is why, then, standing fast in the Lord is not simply about getting up each day and gritting your teeth and clenching your fists and saying, I need to try a bit harder to trust and to follow the Lord today. No, standing fast in the Lord is about looking to the Lord every day for all that you need to keep standing firm in the battle. Looking to him for the forgiveness you need of your continuing sin and failings. Looking to him to deliver you from temptation and the evil one. Looking to him to restore you when you fail and backslide. Looking to him to guide you into the truth and to protect you from errors. Looking to him for grace and strength to stand fast in trusting him. We stand fast by looking to the Lord and trusting the promise that just as he has saved us from sin, he will also keep us till the end. And so as we finish this morning, let me say this to you, that when you feel like a sandcastle that's being battered by waves and you're wondering, how can I keep standing firm? When you really know that you're in the midst of a spiritual battle and you're facing Satan's attacks, and you're wondering, how can I take any more of this? When the Christian life feels like the world's toughest race, and you're wondering, how can I endure to the end? Remember afresh that you're not on your own. Now, if you're a Christian, you are in Christ. You are in the Lord, united to him. And remember that this is the Lord who himself has faced suffering and death and Satan's attacks. And what did he do? He stood fast for you. Jesus Christ stood fast to the end to save you from your sins. And his promise now is that he will enable you to stand fast as you follow him until that day when he comes again and raises you to new life and you share in his victory forever. This is the confidence and this is the hope that belongs to all who by grace are standing fast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you here today, you are still outside of Jesus. Remember the castle and the soldier? You're still outside. You're facing the enemy and sin on your own. What do you need to do? You're in a hopeless situation. You need to get into Christ. And you do that simply through faith. By looking away from yourself and what you can do, and you put your confidence in him, and you'll be united to him, saved and kept safe forever. And if you're in Christ today, the message of the Bible is stand fast in him, in the Lord, through faith in him, knowing that he will keep you till the very end. What a great Savior we have who saves and keeps, and one day will glorify all those who trust. Let's just pray for a moment, and then we're going to have our last